Welcome back, 1234, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. David Sierpinski, Washington Times political reporter, has been covering this whole Bergdahl release and the trade deal that was made over the weekend involving five Gitmo detainees, and he joins me now. David, how are you?
Good, Andy. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. All right, Republicans are claiming it was a lousy deal. I have to get on board with that. And also possibly an illegal deal, right?
Yeah, Republicans are they're just raising objections. I mean, obviously they're saying, hey, it's great for his family, great that Sergeant Bergdahl is on his way to coming back home, but the White House didn't notify Congress or give at least 30 days of notice when they make transfers from Guantanamo like this, which people like, you know, House Intelligence Chairman or House Intelligence Committee Chairman Mike Rogers, Armed Services Committee Chairman Buck McKeon are raising objections to. And McKeon this morning actually said, you know, we're going to have hearings about the circumstances behind this. So that's where we are right now.
Yeah. The administration claims there were no negotiations. And yesterday I noticed that Susan Rice, let's see, who else was it, Chuck Hagel, they claimed, no, we didn't negotiate. How do they get around that? Because there had to be some type of negotiation. Are they pawning it off on the Emir of Qatar? You know, he was the guy that negotiated? Because I don't understand. Something had to be negotiated, but yet, you know, U.S. representatives are saying, no, there was no negotiation.
Right. To a certain degree, you know, the government of Qatar acted as a go-between. They're also saying the difference here is that, you know, Sergeant Bergdahl wasn't a hostage in that sense when you're talking about, you know, negotiating with terrorists over hostages. He was a prisoner of war, and so since we're in an armed conflict, you know, we have broad authority to do what it takes because we don't leave, you know, servicemen or women on the battlefield. So that's the line they've been repeating the last few days.
Yeah, and I saw you had an update on the website a little while ago, and I had just been talking about this before you came on. This guy, Bergdahl, he was considered a deserter. I mean, he left, right? He kind of packed up and left the unit.
Yeah, that's what some of the people who were in his unit are saying, is that, you know, they're, again, it's good to, you know, they're not trying to say, hey, we should reverse this and keep him with the Taliban. But at the same time, you know, it's important to look at the circumstances under which he left. And, you know, that adds another wrinkle to it that makes it much more complicated than, you know, the initial story that happened on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And now Qatar says they're going to handle the oversight of the five terrorists. How are they going to do that? Do we know?
Well, that was, you know, Chairman McKeon's complaint, is that he's saying, you know, hey, look, Congress is supposed to give us 30 days of notice. They notified my staff after it happened, and it's, you know, 2 days going on 3 days later, and I'm learning about things from the media, and there are still unanswered questions about how that's going to happen. I think, you know, the Afghanistan government has criticized the move. So there's still a lot of unanswered questions that, you know, I'm sure, you know, the White House and the Defense Department are going to have to answer the next few days.
Yeah. Well, Susan Rice said they had been given assurances that everything would be handled the way it's supposed to be handled, whatever that means. So
sure.
All we know is that we've got five really bad guys that have been released, and they may have to live in Qatar for a year, but does that preclude them from making phone calls and, you know, working on logistics for more attacks? I don't think so. This is going to be, I think it's going to turn into be a very dangerous situation, more than we see right now. And I think many would be concerned it sets a very dangerous precedent, right?
Yeah, those are all good questions. And I mean, perhaps, I mean, coincidentally, you know, it comes on the same day that the administration is announcing new regulations for, you know, new EPA regulations on curbing carbon emissions. So, again, obviously the two aren't related, but it is the same line that, you know, Republicans are saying, hey, this administration, you know, is in the business of, you know, when Congress doesn't pass things or approve things, you know, they sort of work around us. So it's just another layer of, you know, fodder for that line of attack or argument, I suppose.
Yeah. Are you expecting anything else today as far as any type of news conference to talk about this situation, or are we just at the mercy of the White House and what they release?
Well, the latest news, the latest reports are that, he's in stable condition, still overseas. Judging from the press conference with where his father, was sort of speaking, translating his words, it's really, the process for rehabilitation and reassimilation could be, rather long, considering that it's there for almost 5 years.
Yep.
But yeah, those are all very good questions that we still don't quite know the answers to.
All right. Well, David, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. We'll talk again.
Sure. Thanks, Andy.